Hello and welcome to the Mercenary Star Podcast. My name is Seth, also known as White Fox SG, and we are excited to have a brand new episode for you here at the end of 2023. We are in episode 11, and we are covering the Waco Rangers. I am very pleased to have my special guest with me today, Woody, aka Goodshot Jansen, from MWO Game Nights. And if you don't know what that is, you should really check it out, because we have an awesome group of people playing MWO on Friday nights most times. And I think last time we had upwards of, 8 to 10 people playing some custom matches. So it's a lot of fun, and we'd love to have you there. We play in the Valhalla Club Discord, of which we have a booth in their Discord, and so we'd love to have you join us there as well. But first of all, we need to get to know our co-host here. Woody, first of all, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Seth. Thanks for having me on, man. To people listening, I want to go ahead and apologize. I've come down with some sort of curmudgeon. So a lot of mouth breathing and sniffling coming from me, but I'll try to mute out as much of it as possible. But it's great to be here, man.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you for joining us, and thank you for offering to cover this tragic anti-hero. I don't know if I'd even get that much, but this tragic tale.
Yeah, they're great.
Somebody's got to like them, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to cover the Waco Rangers. But first, how long have you been playing Battletech or MechWarrior, or how did you get into the universe, and how long?
Tabletop, honestly, relatively recently. A buddy of mine and I were playing MechWarrior 5 together, and decided we wanted to try out the tabletop game. My love affair with the universe started, like a lot of people my age. I was in, junior high at the time, and Mech Assault came out for the Xbox.
Oh yeah,
like, this is a cool game. Let's drive big robots. And I took my Xbox with me to college, and my buddy's roommate walked in. He's like, "That looks like, is that a cougar?" I was like, "Yeah, it's a cougar. You play Mech Assault?" He's like, "No, dude, I play MechWarrior 4." He's like, "Come with me. Just come with me right now."
Nice.
So we went back to his room, and he booted up MechWarrior 4, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is how this is supposed to be." Okay, mm-hmm. Fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's. I love that you came from Mech Assault. Like, I love Mech Assault. I think they were super fun. Had it on the original Xbox. I was in college at the time, but it was, it was like the first time. You know, I grew up playing the MechWarrior games from MechWarrior 1 on. But yeah, it was also fun to sit down with a controller in front of the TV and casually play, you know, MechWarrior.
I came from a console household, so you know, we never had PC. Yeah. So that was the only way I was able to get into the whole MechWarrior thing, and I ended up getting a used PC to play MechWarrior, just to play MechWarrior 4 on. But
that's awesome.
It's going back after playing MechWarrior is kind of hard just because it's so arcadey, but it's a great entry point for people.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you do know a bit about the lore. Did you get into the books as well?
Yeah. So the same friend of mine who told me about MechWarrior 4, he's like, "And you know, there's books, right?" I'm like, no, you're kidding me. So at the time, I happened to be working when I was in college, I was working at a bookstore called Books A Million. And
I
went and I saw, I'm not sure if they're still around. I doubt they are. But I went on the shelf and I was looking for MechWarrior books. And I was like, MechWarrior Dark Age Book 1. Okay, this must be the first book. Great.
Everyone on the internet just cringed.
it's a Stackpole book. And I knew Stackpole from the X-Wing series. And it's not a bad book. It's more of like an espionage thriller, which I thought was kind of cool. I went back and told Drew, I was like, "Hey man, dude, I just finished this book. It's called Ghost War. It's pretty good." And he looked at me again. He's like, "Dude, no." Like, I was like, I remember distinctly telling him, like, "There's this big battle. There were like four battle mechs. It was huge." He's like, Oh my goodness, man. Like, you understand, like, earlier in the timeline, there are battles covering entire continents." I was like, "No." He's like, "Okay, here, you need to go read this." And then I stopped reading those for a while. I don't know why. But around the same time I started getting back into the tabletop, I just started at the beginning. And I've been reading every single book. And now I'm back in, ironically, back into the Dark Age era.
Yeah.
And I'm understanding when people say, when they say the timeline stops at 67. But at the same time, the Dark Age books aren't bad. You're just going to have an open mind.
Yeah. Well, I think it was more of the books at the beginning of the Dark Age. When we were going through them, when we were going through it at the time, we did not, like, you know, I've heard interviews and stuff where people are like, oh no, like some of these books were like almost like disinformation. Like nobody knew what was going on. I was like, I get that, but the reader should have known what was going on, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's really more of where it was because we, yeah, a time jump, and we basically lost track of all of the things that we were familiar with. And so that was where the disconnect happened. So,
the exact same thing happened to me. Like I unfortunately, I could see like the train wreck coming in the distance as mm-hmm. I kept reading the books. I was like, okay, we're in the FedCom Civil War. It's 62, 63, 64, 65. And it's like, okay, this is Endgame. This is the last one. You better enjoy it, buddy. And when I finished and read the next one, it's like, okay, so what happened to Paul Masters and the Knights of the Inner Sphere? What happened to like all these characters I was really
What happened to
in?
Victor? What happened to Ohiro? Yeah. Like, what happened to all these characters? Yeah, totally.
Are we ever going to figure out who killed Morgan Hass and Davion? Like they just never come back to a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So
I know. And that was, and I get there was also some real world things that happened in that, but still, you know, they tried to basically move forward and create their own story, which was kind of the wrong thing to do with this universe and this fandom, you know?
Yeah.
And they also were trying to sell those clicks. So
It's bad timing on their part that they came out with a storyline called the Jihad like 2 years before 9/11. So that's just a bad time.
Yeah, that wasn't good.
Bad timing.
Yeah, I don't even like to call it, you know, call it that. Pretty much, I just call it like the, you know, the Word of Blake Crusade, whatever you want to call it, kind of thing. So
the J word.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't do well on the internet anymore now either. So like, you know.
Yep.
Get you flagged on those YouTube videos sometimes, but all good. So we're going to talk about the Waco Rangers. And
yeah, it's a unit that did not make it to the.
They did not.
They ended with the with most people's timelines.
They did. They did end with most people's timelines, but it wasn't because they were a fan favorite. Because they were definitely not a fan favorite. There are some people who love Waco Rangers. Do you consider yourselves among them?
I love what they are, and I love who they are. I'm definitely not somebody who goes out and stomps out a lance and proud Waco Rangers colors or has a Waco Rangers decal in the back of my truck. Like, no, I wouldn't say I'm a supporter or fan, but you've got to have factions like this. You can't have every faction like being an honorable mercenary company doing good. It's like, that's not how the world works, man. You got to have, you got to have shades of gray out there. This company is definitely one of those darker shades of gray that makes the world more interesting and flavorful.
Absolutely. So let's just get into it. They were founded.
Right in,
they were founded in 3007, which is very similar in timeline to what we'll find out later. Their arch nemesis, the Wolf Dragoons.
Just appearing out of nowhere with Danny's inheritance next.
Yes. But they were founded in 3007 when Wayne Waco, who was a part of the first Tau Ceti Rangers, when they disbanded and he left and started the Waco Rangers. So I get where the Rangers part came from. You know, basically he was part of the Tau Ceti Rangers. Let's keep the name Rangers. He's just going to be the Waco Rangers. Which is
okay. So
cool.
That I was going to ask you, Seth. I've been kicking this question around for a while. Do you think Wayne Waco? Do you think he picked up that name because of the Rangers moniker, or do you think that he just loves Texas, or do you think this is actually his name?
I don't know. I mean, like the Waco part, I think was his name. You know, like Waco because Waco back in the 80s. When this unit was born, you know, in our timeline, in our world, Waco was not a big town that people knew about. like people didn't know about Waco.
It's still a pretty small town. I got a buddy who's from Waco.
Yeah. But it wasn't even infamous for some of the other things we know news.
I wasn't even trying to draw a parallel to that.
I'm just saying, like, nobody knew about that. You know, nobody knew about Waco as a town. So I think just his name. I think the W is an alliteration that works well. Wayne Waco. Also,
he
I think if they were
hard to the Texas stuff,
he did. And that's okay. That's okay. I do appreciate we'll show some art. If you're watching on YouTube, if you're watching the VOD, we'll have a presentation in just a little bit. In fact, you know what? We're talking about stuff now. Let's go ahead and pull that up. What am I doing?
Yeah, these uniforms are great.
we'll get to their uniforms and stuff. And man, they're fantastic. But it's not purely Texas. It's almost like a cross between like Texas and like Australian Outback.
Yeah, it's almost like African big game hunter, some of these hats and stuff.
It is.
I see
it
that.
Is. Like the safari, like the old British safari hats. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll get into that here in a minute. And we'll show the title slide on the presentation there. They look fantastic. They look rough and tumble. They look, like I said, kind of like I don't know. So another thing too, and this is something that was really hard. They're an important unit in the BattleTech universe, but they're in my research, and I'm sure in yours too, there's not a lot of artwork. In fact, I'll mean, there's like almost none. And then there's hardly any fiction. There's more fiction than artwork, but it's all short stories. And so there's not like a novel cover with, you know, Waco Rangers mech on the front of it or anything. There's not anything really out there. I know like there will probably be more in the next year. I know some other YouTubers have commissioned some art, and I think that's awesome. I actually am probably going to be doing the same moving into 2024 with the units that I cover, because I feel like some of these smaller units that are important to the BattleTech universe should have at least one piece of good art, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, that's going to be fun. But for now, we have the picture that you see on screen, which is from the Mercenary Handbook. And then we've got pretty much the uniforms that it's also from the Mercenary Handbook. That we'll show in just a little bit, but like we talked about, they were founded in 3007. Wayne Waco, he was a Vindicator pilot, which I find interesting, especially because we have the Vindicator as part of the new beginner box. And so, you know, I think the new sculpt looks good. And so I might make an argument for that as a mech in the box set later, but
oh, for sure.
But yeah,
there's plenty of variants out there.
Absolutely,
you can choose from.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's that. And then what are the source books besides Mercenary's Handbook that they've been included in?
They do play a big role. If you want to read about the kind of the genesis of this conflict between the Dragoons and the Rangers that we'll talk about in a second. The Wolf's Dragoon source book has it in there, and then they're mentioned briefly in the Cranston and Rhonda's Nords source books.
Which are closely tied to the Wolf's Dragoons as well.
Correct. They are. Because I think there's some point where Cranston figures out what's going on between the Irregulars and the Dragoons, and so his blood umbrella, blood feud expands to cover them as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's a few source books they're in, but if you want to learn about kind of the genesis of them and what's going on with the Dragoon source book, and it's one of the cheaper ones you can get if you're looking for a physical copy. Some of these source books are expensive now.
Right, out of print and all that.
Yeah, exactly. That's hopefully we can get those back in print with all the glorious 1980s artwork.
From what I've heard, a lot of stuff is going to come back around as print on demand. It's just going to take time before they come around. And some of them may not, I don't know, but Wolf Dragoons are pretty prominent, so I imagine we may see something with them. It's a refresh version of some kind.
Cool.
So there's that. I think their first appearance in fiction was in the Wolf Dragoons novel Wolfpack, which was in 92, I believe. I thought I had that written down here somewhere, but yeah, I think that was their first appearance in fiction, but they didn't have any of their own fiction until 2012. And so, like, getting into that, yeah, Wolfpack was 1992. And I, like I said, I think they were just mentioned. Their first, well, hold on. Let's see. What else was it? They were also in, they also played a major role in Malicious Intent, which was a Michael Stackpole novel about the Refusal War and the Jade Falcon's assault on Coventry, which is a major battle that they were involved in.
Yeah, and I think we'll detail that later on, because that's for many reasons, not just the results and the effects felt throughout the Intersphere, but they're I'll wait till we get there. I don't want to throw spoilers in here before we start talking about these guys.
Yeah, but yeah, so that's kind of where those are the first two novels that really mention them, Malicious Intent mentioned them more than Wolfpack, I'm pretty sure. But what's really cool is that we actually get some fiction from the viewpoint of the Rangers later. And so, again, if you're watching the screen, we've got Making a Name, which was a Battlecore short story in the Weapons Free anthology by Jason Schmetzer in 2012. Sorry, Jason. And so that one actually follows the story of Wayne Waco's son, John, getting killed when he got stepped on. Spoilers, by the way, if you didn't know. But these are 30-year-old novels, and, you know. But, yeah, basically, Wayne Waco's son, in their first major engagement, was against the Wolf Dragoons. He got shot out of his locus, running across the battlefield or something. He basically got stepped on by a Dragoon assault mech and killed. And so that is what started the Dragoon Death Oath, which we'll talk about in a minute as well. But that's what started the feud, even though I think it was all parties were cleared of, like, maliciously trying to kill him. What I do want to ask, though, is why in the world is the son of the commander of the mercenary company in a locus?
You know, that's I think it's you know, we can speculate it. It might have just been the mech the author chose, but if there is a story reason, shows a sign of lack of favoritism. I'm not just gonna give you a mech you haven't earned, or maybe he was a hotshot scout pilot, man. You never know.
Maybe so. I mean, it didn't seem like he was that hot shot. He got shot out of it pretty fast in that battle, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we've got Tales from the Cracked Canopy, Blind Arrogance, which was in the first issue of Shrapnel and was written by Craig A. Reed Jr. That was in 2020. And it is from the perspective of a former Ranger who basically left and then was telling his story of why he left, because essentially he knew what the rest of us knew, is that Wayne Waco was crazy and he wanted to get out of there. So, but that's in the first issue of Shrapnel. The other two entries are, again, Shrapnel entries. In Shrapnel number 5, we've got Ice Cold Dish, which was by, Paul Jardine in 2021. And then, and that one is actually, that one is actually the last hurrah of the Waco Rangers. It is the battle on Outreach in 3067, whenever Wayne Waco, with the backing of the Word of Blake, hires a whole bunch of, you know, less than stellar reputation mercenaries to rebel, and something between 200 and 300 mechs, I think is what they said, was the whole coalition that they got together. And then he basically led them all to destruction. So, because they were wiped out in said battle. And that was when they were disbanded slash destroyed. The Rangers did not live past 3067. And then we got one more entry of the Waco Rangers, and it's only kind of the Waco Rangers. Essentially, it's a young foot soldier getting called Signing Day, and it's in Shrapnel 11 by Chris G. Lane. And it's the story of him, this young soldier, basically getting signing up with the Waco Rangers. So pretty all good stories, all well written. But again, it's just kind of that tragic, you know, mercenary company that could never quite get it right, that had, you know, their leaders were just a little bit unhinged.
Yeah, even at their apex, they were never quite like even a B-tier unit. Like they never quite got into the major leagues. There are a couple of points there where it's like they could almost just reach out their hands and touch it, and then they just never made it. And a lot of that was due to Wayne Waco's emotional instability.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, he also, even though he ended up giving up command of them for a little while, which was happened before the Battle of Coventry, he never like released ownership, so he could basically come back in and take over.
Right.
You know, and also too, anyone like what we talked about earlier, anyone that signed up basically had to agree to the Wolf Dragoons' death oath, which was that any dragoons that they found, they tried to kill, essentially. And then on top of that, like you said, when they found out there was a connection between the Snords Irregulars, they kind of added them to it as well a little bit. But they even had a clause in all of their contracts that if the Great House or whoever they were hired by were going to hire the Wolf Dragoons, they were required to inform the Waco Rangers, and that was an exit clause that they could basically leave their contract if, you know, it was basically them or the Rangers. And, you know, clearly everyone eventually chose the Dragoons. So, yeah, you know. But, yeah, like, getting into kind of, like, more of their summary. Talked about, you know, Wayne Waco starting it. They fought the Wolf Dragoons on New Coventry, their first engagement. But go ahead, yeah.
To the founding real quick. We know that his wife came with him.
Yes.
And so ostensibly other people from the Taos City Rangers came with Wayne. And there's a precedent in history for this happening. I guess the most recent example of something like this would be in South Africa during after the border war with Angola. There was a battalion-sized element called the 32nd Reconnaissance Battalion, and they were disbanded. And the higher-ups from that battalion ended up forming, with a lot of the veterans, a unit called Executive Outcomes, which was a actual real-life PMC mercenary outfit in the 90s. Nice. They went to jail later on for trying to overthrow a government in sub-Saharan Africa. But it's an interesting parallel where you do have like things happening in real life where these like entire units that like they're unemployed, and so the guys in charge are like, guys, hold on a second, don't go turn in your gear yet, like stick around, let's we can make something out of this.
You know, it's definitely something that is believable, right? And we see it all the time in the BattleTech universe, where Unit A gets disbanded or destroyed, and then out of the ashes, somebody creates a mercenary company. Or we see an entire unit, maybe, that leaves the service of a greater house military and forms a unit because they don't believe in what the government that they have been serving, you know, they don't believe in what they're doing, so...
Or like in the case of the Light Horse of the Highlanders, the government that you're serving just ends up disappearing out from underneath you.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, there's a lot of precedence in BattleTech for that.
Yeah.
I mean, in fact, we're kind of going through that again, and that's I'm super excited for more Ill-Clan fiction because it kind of coincides with the Mercenaries Kickstarter in that we are getting an influx of mercenaries because the Republic of the Sphere is no more. Spoilers. Spoiler alert.
I'm in the middle of those books right now, so.
I mean, but we kind of had books. To, you know, if you've heard anything about the BattleTech universe, it's called Ill-Clan, meaning that a clan, meaning a clan has taken over Terra, and the along with that, the Republic of the Sphere is no more, and so there are a bunch of, you know, Republic former military that are forming mercenary companies. They're like, everyone is trying to hire mercenary companies. Also too, you know, we talked about those Dark Ages, you know, there in those Dark Ages, there was this whole like de-armament that happened, that was led by Devlin Stone and the Republic of the Sphere. And it was very cheesy peacetime kind of like, you know, turning mechs into plowshares. Let's be pioneers once again. And, you know, pretty much everyone kind of agreed to it, except for, I think, like the Capellan Confederation. I don't think they agreed to it at all. But everyone else kind of agreed to it. They kind of hid mechs and armaments, you know, here and there. Different units did, different worlds did. But there was not as many mercenaries anymore. And so we're seeing a big rise in that in the current timeline, and I love it. So,
yeah, that's I feel like the 3000 through like the fourth succession era war all the way through clan invasion and afterwards. This is like the golden age of the mercenary that we're in right now.
Yeah,
that we're talking about, like the early 3000s, and if it comes back, that's great. So the Republic of the Spear stuff has me actually rooting for the Capellan Confederation. I don't like the Republic.
yeah. Well, like I said. They were destroyed by, not by the Capellan Confederation per se, but there's I don't know, there's some interesting stuff coming. Okay, so, you know, obviously they were founded, and talked earlier, John Waco, Wayne's son, was killed, and that started the infamous Waco Death Oath.
Yes.
So and,
I've got another question for you. So
yeah.
You're on the ground, right? You've just ejected from your locust, and you see a stalker lumbering towards you. I feel like this is like Luke Skywalker in the snowspeeder, and the AT-AT is walking at like half a mile an hour.
Absolutely.
And he's like trying to pull Dak out the back of the snowspeeder, and he keeps looking back, and like every time he looks, like it's inexplicably like a half mile closer than it was before.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also like that Austin Powers thing where
the steamroller is coming, and he's like, no.
How does this happen?
I know,
you get
right?
By a stalker.
I mean, I it's been a long time since I've read that fiction entry for it. So maybe there's a good reason. I can't remember, but so many questions, right? So many questions.
Just, the image makes me laugh every time I think about it.
Yeah. But yeah, that was like an important piece of the Waco Rangers identity, though. They hated the Wolf Dragoons, which were arguably the best and the favorite mercenary unit of a lot of people for a long time. Oh, well, 100% best equipped, because they came in with outdated, you know, mechs that were actually well advanced over the current mechs in 3025 and 3007 because of all the succession wars. In fact, they had to mothball half of those mechs that they brought with them because they were like, "Oh, we're way too overpowered for these people."
Yeah, dude, they had warships.
Yeah, as a mercenary unit and five regiments.
Yeah, we're just gonna go like stockpile these over here. Don't worry about it.
but you know, the Waco Rangers though, they did have a decent enough reputation as a competent unit that they worked for Almost everyone. In fact, I think they worked for all the major houses at one point or another. Now, granted, they had that clause that if the Wolf Dragoons were hired by the same, faction, that they could pull out. And they did. They never wanted to be employed by them because they always wanted to be against them. And so I feel like it was usually like, oh, they're getting hired by House Caryta. Let's go work for the Lyran Commonwealth so that we can fight against them, kind of thing.
Yeah,
So,
seeking out employment opposite of their
yes.
dragoons. I think the only people who didn't give them the ahead notice was the Capcom, but I think that's because the blood feud started midway through the contract, so it wasn't in the contract yet.
Yes, it exactly. So, but yeah, they did that in that's all throughout the early 3000s. The Draconis Combine did actually give them notice, and so they left, and that's when they moved to the LCAF. Let's see, kind of, we talked earlier about them finding out about Snord's Irregulars in the like 3031, 3032 time period, and they actually were trying to, because if when we talked about the Snord's Irregulars in a previous episode, talked about how they were like treasure seekers, right? And so Wayne Waco thought, oh, let's go steal the treasure from him. And he tried to challenge them and end up losing because he thought it was just going to be a small part of the Irregulars, and it was like the entire force of the Irregulars that he ended up fighting against.
Yeah, and it was over like it's like crystal goblets and stuff, right? Like it's like
Yes,
a set of
yes.
like
Priceless heirlooms, but nothing that was actually
priceless
valuable,
heirlooms,
like to someone like Wayne Waco. Yeah, so it was, and the Snord's Irregulars just like outmaneuvered them, used tactics better than they did. Yeah, it was a
It
pretty
crosses the
bad
sword
beat.
afterwards was like, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like you're not even worth my time to kill. Like I'm out of here.
No,
Like he
he
didn't spare him because it
taunted
was like
him.
you were an equal. It's like no. He's just like you're not worth the AC-20 round, dude.
Yeah.
This is like a 5,000 C-bell shell. I'm not
He
gonna
definitely
waste you. I'm out
solidified the fact that it was like, yeah,
here.
you can be mad at us too because we don't care about you.
You know what it is? Have you seen did you ever see Mad Men?
Only a few episodes.
Okay, hopefully some of the viewers will know what I'm talking about. There's this scene in the elevator. There's a new guy. He's talking to Don Draper, the John Hamm's character. He's like, I think you're this, that. I think
Oh,
you're this.
yes.
And John Hamm looks at him and he goes, I don't think about you at all. And that's
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
oh, that's kind of how I feel the Jamie Wolf and Krannis Nord feel about the Waken Rangers. Like, we just don't think about you, man. You're a fly. Like, you're not
Yeah.
within our sphere. We don't care about you. And that makes
Yeah.
his blood boil. That makes Wayne Waker's blood just absolutely
He goes crazy. He definitely goes crazy.
boil.
But then at some point after that, before the clan invasion, he actually gives up command of the Waco Rangers, and he gives it over to Colonel Wayne Rogers. And so during the clan invasion, Wayne Rogers is actually the commander of the Waco Rangers. And although it was pretty funny because even though he was retired from being commander of Waco Rangers, he was still heavily involved in Inner Sphere politics somehow. And found when the we when everyone found out that the, again, spoilers, if you haven't read the Blood of Kerensky trilogy, Wayne Waco basically tries, when we find out that the Wolf Dragoons are the Wolf Dragoons from Clan Wolf, he's like, oh, we should everybody get them, they're from the clans, and everyone's like, nah.
Honestly, one of the less insane things he's ever said. Like
True, true. He
he's not wrong.
no, except for the fact that he didn't read the room. He was pretty much just like, let's all get him. We should take him out, even though we're like all here on outreach, like in their backyard, their sovereign planet.
Like, yeah, we're not gonna fight, but you guys can have a hot dog if you want. Like,
Yeah.
you're in our house, man. You're not
Oh
gonna
my
fight us here.
gosh. Yeah. Again, just not quite all there. But yeah, so I mean, but again, like you said, it was kind of like the most sane thing for him to say. But then also he did, however, in the preceding years, serve on the MRBC, the Mech Warrior, the Mercenary Review and Bonding Commission board.
Right.
And he was always looking for a way to stick it to the Wolf's Dragoons. And he did find a way in a very brief stint to say, oh, Jamie Wolf, you can't serve in any active contracts for like a year,
Yeah.
which is
And it's
like,
so
okay,
interesting that
fine,
they
I'll
let
turn it
him.
over to this guy and the Dragoons will still go do it.
I think it does speak to Jamie Wolf's character a bit for even letting him on, because the MRBC was the follow-up to the MRB, the Comstar's Mercenary Review Board, after Terra fell.
Yes.
So the MRBC is on Outreach, which is the Wolf Dragoon planet, and here you've got the sworn enemy to Jamie Wolf, who's serving on this bonding commission on Outreach. It is passing judgment against Dragoon members, and I think we both know that Jamie Wolf did not have to show up to that, did not have to abide by that judgment, but it
He
is
still
a
did, though. He still did.
exactly he shows that he's not above the judgment set up by his own organization. I think that's I can imagine that drove
Oh
Waco even
man.
crazier, where it's like, ah, oh, we've got it this time, and it's like popular opinion surges for Jamie Wolf after he
Yeah.
abides by MRBC. It's like,
Yeah,
you can just see him
right?
pulling his hair out.
Oh my gosh, it's just funny. But yeah, so then we get to the Battle of Coventry, which was in 3058, so after the this is after Tewkiid. We've got the Tewkiid truce line, but the Jade Falcons are still, they still have room to work, still have room to try to like take over things in the Lyran Commonwealth, because they basically just made it like
Right.
a parallel line in the race to Terra once they found
Well,
out.
this is after the Refusal War. So the Falcons at
Yes.
this point are their ranks have been decimated, not in like in the actual sense of the word. Like they're about maybe 10% of all their forces are gone.
Yeah.
And they have to actually bring up IASs and not recruits, but Simcoe members up before their time's necessarily ready. And Martha Pride is like, okay, well, they need a trial of combat. We're gonna have combat. Let's just throw them out there. The ones that survive will make the clan stronger. The ones that don't, sink or
Yeah.
swim. There is some merit to her thinking. At the same time, she left her rear completely exposed. And this is one of those things in one of the few points of BattleTech that I think was written poorly, having the wolves come back like that. But that's a topic for another day. The
Yeah.
whole point of this for Martha Pride was this entire military operation was a lot like the German Condor Legions in the Spanish Civil War, where the Germans sent their new planes or new pilots into Spain to develop tactics for modern warfare and to get combat experience and a leg up. So they've got a new generation of clan warriors coming up from the Simcoes,
Yeah.
and they need them to get combat experience quickly, before the time runs out for the truce, the 15-year period. This is about halfway through that, a little bit less than halfway through that.
Yeah.
So the whole point of this was just combat for combat's sake for Martha Pride.
And this is not a Clan Jade Falcon episode, but I'm pretty sure that was also when included Aiden Pride's daughter, right?
Yeah, Diana.
She was Diana. She was
Diana,
involved in Coventry as well. So, which I always liked her story because, anytime there's like a hotshot free birth, freeborn warrior in the clans that can rise and actually do something is pretty impressive. And she was allowed to do that, which, not a lot in Jade Falcons were, but.
Well, the little trio of her and Horse and Joanna just makes me smile whenever I read like one of the books centered
Yeah.
around them. It's like the unlikely family dynamic that they have.
Yeah, for sure. But on Coventry, the
Yes.
Waco Rangers, because there was a huge mercenary force there, part of them being the Kellhounds and the Wolf Dragoons, and the Wolf, don't want to play nice with the Wolf Dragoons, but it wasn't Wayne Waco on site. It was Wayne Rogers.
Wayne Rogers, yeah.
But he still was trying to kind of honor the death oath, and so he ignored intel, like just flat out ignored it, and decided to go in his own direction and very nearly ended the Rangers then. They pretty much were brought down to less than a company size of fighting units. And Wayne was also captured, I think, by the clans at the time too.
Yep.
And so then Wayne came back, Wayne Waco came back and took over at that point. But they never recovered from that. They never recovered from Coventry as far as being able to be called a competent unit, you know, probably because like until that time, they were still, you know, lower end of B tier mercenaries, honestly. Yep.
Still not bad.
No, and they had like, you know, they had almost not quite a regiment of units, like combined arms stuff, but they had a lot.
Yeah, at their height, they had a couple drop ships. They had I don't think they ever had a jump ship. They did have a couple drop ships, like Spheroid. I think they had at least one Overlord. But they're at the point where they're a self-sustained unit with the exception of jump ship capability. Yeah. Which is that's a lot further than a lot of units ever get.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but yeah, here they lose it all.
Yeah. So. Obviously, after that, they didn't really ever recover. Wayne Waco resumed command despite his advanced age because, I mean, he was like almost 100 when he died. So he's got to be at this point probably like 85, 90.
Yeah, this is the point in the books when the original cast of characters, if you will, most of them are gone, but there's only a few left. Morgan Kell's still around. Yep. Jamie Wolf, is Takashi Kurita still alive at this point?
No. He's been dead for a while because he died.
Been dead.
He died and Theodore had taken over the coordinatorship of the Draconis Combine. There's obviously Victor and his sister had already had their civil war, and so then you had at that point, by 3067, at the end, you know, the Civil War had already happened. We had Victor had already stepped down and given it to Yvonne and
Peter,
yes,
yeah.
So you know, it was something that was, you know, that was just interesting. Like you said, all the original cast and even some of their offspring had already been gone.
The next generation. Yeah, a lot of those guys are getting up in age too.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, they... Yeah,
this is where the... Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say they definitely never really recovered and were a company worth of battle mechs and a lance of aerospace fighters was all they had left.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and they're kind of, this is how I envision them. They're kind of like basically beggars on the streets of outreach. Yes. On Harlech. They're like sitting there like we'll fight for food.
Yes, and they're also really mad that they are stuck on outreach because it's the Wolf Dragoon's homeworld.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like they are constantly biting the hand that feeds them. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's insult to injury, and yeah, no one's hiring them. They're stuck on this world. They can't go off. They can't apply their trade. And then this is when the J word happens or begins.
Yes,
really. And,
yes. The word of Blake starts becoming relevant.
Yeah, you can see the spark in good old Wayne Waco's eyes. He's like, huh?
A bunch of crazy people.
Excellent.
These crazy people want to take out the Wolf Dragoons too. Perfect.
Yeah, we should have a chat with these guys.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, so he essentially takes money and equipment from the Word of Blake in 3067 hires a whole bunch of privately hires like a whole bunch of like smaller and independent mercenary companies and units
right.
that are, you know, also kind of the dregs of the mercenary, you know, society.
Right.
And spring an attack on you know, on outreach on the mercenary allied command, which were part of the reason the Word of Blake basically hired them was so that they could go and disrupt this allied mercenary command, because Jamie
right.
Wolfe and the Wolf Dragoons were like, we need to take care of these Word of Blake people because they're getting crazy.
Yeah. So, and I love what was their liaison's name? I don't think I wrote it down.
I don't remember. I don't remember that.
It was their Word of Blake liaison. It was basically like, all right, so here's your money mix. Yeah, don't worry. All the stuff is clean. And we're going to attack on Thursday. And Wayne was like, we attack tonight. He's like, no,
exactly.
We have to wait till Thursday. And he goes, no. He ends up shooting he shoots the aid and then just launches the attack. And to his credit,
oh
it completely got the Dragoons off of off kilter. But
yeah, it did.
The Word of Blake was like, yeah, this guy's an absolute loose cannon. Like, you know, he's a bomb that we've set off, and hopefully he'll do damage to the Dragoons, but we're washing our hands of this. Do what you want, man. We're stepping back.
Oh my gosh, it was, yeah, that was, yeah. And your impersonation was spot on and fantastic, by the way. I appreciate that.
We go now!
We go now! 100%.
Do it 100%. Live!
Do it live.
We'll do it live.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, I mean, they launch an attack on the Wolf Dragoons, on the Allied Mercenary Command, and they do a lot of damage, and the Dragoons are caught off guard, but at the same time to the Wolf Dragoons, and so they eventually,
yeah.
them and the other mercenary units start mopping up this rebellion. It ends
oh,
up
sure.
coming down to Wayne Waco and his command, you know, command Lance, I think, at that point. He didn't even have much left. Which a lot of those other mercenaries.
It's the only Lance.
It's the only Lance he has. All the rest were just the hirelings. Which is funny because the Waco, all those like 200 to 300 mechs that joined
yeah.
him, they all painted like the Waco Ranger star on their mechs.
Oh,
but
yeah.
They call themselves the Waco Renegade
Waco
Rangers.
Yeah, and I can imagine these guys are like either brand new mech warriors or they really never had the chops to get into a good organization.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of like Wayne. They're sitting around outreach. And they're just like, hey,
these are the CD and F tier.
Yes, but today's my big break. Today,
mm-hmm.
today I'm going to make it happen. Just like those actors who got the Hollywood wait tables for 50 years. And they're like, man, tomorrow's going to be my big break. And
yeah.
for these guys, it was Wayne Waco. He appears in there, darkens their doorway, and he's like, hey, kid, you want to drive him back?
Yeah.
And so you get all these
guys. I got
guys
a mech for you and some money.
Dragoons.
You may not be alive
yeah.
at the end of the day, but here's both.
And I imagine these guys have some past resentment to the Dragoons, either for saying they weren't good enough, for not letting them in the training hall,
absolutely.
For not hiring them. Or maybe they've lost family, because the Wolf Dragoons have killed a lot of people on a lot of planets.
Well, sure, when you get hired by every major faction and some of the minor ones, too.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
That's going to happen.
They've killed their way across the entire Intersphere. But yeah, there's definitely that point where the initial onslaught happens, just sheer numbers of C-D tier mech warriors put the Wolf Dragoons back on their back foot. And then you have this like one little operator deep in the castle, and she's like, all Dragoons condition feral. All Dragoons condition feral. And then
yes.
you have like the scene like in the Three Musketeers
oh
where like they're sitting in their
yes.
barn and like push away the hay bale.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're
yeah, the Disney Musketeers movie where they're all like all the Dragoons come out of the woodworks. And they
yeah,
literally
exactly.
And what's kind of crazy, but also completely understandable, is that they have this condition feral that's like,
huh?
All right, we're killing everybody on planet that's not a Dragoon. Like
yeah.
Like straight
yeah.
up, they're like, we are destroying them. Like they are no longer allowed, you know. And so, yeah, it's crazy. They completely wipe out these 200 to 300 mechs and mech warriors. And it ends up being, you know, Jamie Wolf versus Wayne Waco, geriatric 99-year-old Wayne Waco in his Battlemaster and against Jamie Wolf and his Archer. And somehow he manages to fatally wound Jamie Wolfe. He doesn't quite kill him outright, but he fatally wounds him. Jamie Wolfe kills him. And so Wayne Waco is no more. That's the end of it. And that's when they call the condition and basically rid the planet, purge the planet of non, with extreme prejudice is what it says. So they were destroyed. And thus ends the Waco Rangers in 3067.
I think it's interesting that Waco never knew he was fighting Jamie Wolfe in the last battle. It's one of those things.
Really, the blue archer didn't give it away.
I remember reading that they didn't know they were fighting each other. Maybe it might have been the implication might have been he didn't know he'd killed Jamie because he was also dead. That might have been the implication as well.
Well, that's
kind of a given. But I guess the show, man, don't ignore that little sore on your foot or that that little lesion you've got, because that could turn out to be the cancer that wipes you off of the inside, just like Wayne Waco did.
But like you said, it's this kind of like tragic, antagonist story, because they just never rose to their potential. They could have been, had they gotten past that death oath. They probably could have risen to much greater potential.
Oh, easily. Especially think about the clan invasion for the Inner Sphere was like the invasion of Iraq for private military companies in the U.S., where it's like, you've got this field day. Government is throwing money at you to do whatever to fill needs. The clan invasion is the same thing. The Inner Sphere is like, okay, we need everybody and every man we could possibly get. Name your price. Here, go.
Yeah.
Please save the Inner Sphere. So if they had been if Wayne Waco had led the company logically and not gotten so emotionally invested in this blood oath, they could have been one of the larger and better known mercenary units. But this is at the end of it all, it's a lesson about keeping your emotions in check.
Yeah, definitely. The people in BattleTech are human too, right? You know, that's part of why we love this universe, is that they're human. Yeah. We can relate to them.
Very
we
much.
Can see where they make mistakes. Unless you're Alaric, Mord, and you know, the Ill Clan, but
or unless you're failing Kel, failing upwards more like it. Get it?
He did. He failed, but he failed upwards at least. Alaric just hasn't failed yet, so.
Failing upwards, man.
Failing upwards. Ba-dum-ching. Perfect. Yes, so it's funny. I had this quote that I have to share in talking about this with the other people, with some of my other fellow podcasters, which you can find in the Valhalla Club podcast Discord. But I was talking with them last night as we were playing some MechWarrior Online, and Brent from Of Mechs and Men, which is a fantastic book club. They're going through the fiction right now. It's amazing.
I said,
have you heard about, I kind of started it and was like, have you heard about the tragedy of Darth, Wayne Waco, the wise. And he goes, oh yes, the tragedy of Wayne Waco and the Waco Rangers. It's not a story you'd hear from a Dragoon.
Not from a Dragoon.
Because the Dragoons didn't care. But yes, Brent, I told you I'd shout you out there. Good job. I love that. It's fantastic. But hey, that kind of wraps up our summary. But let's talk about dream about what a Waco Rangers force pack would be, because it's all about the mechs, really at the end of the day. We love the mechs, we love the plastic minis, and so what are the ones? Now the format for all the mechs, the format for the force packs is thus: a repose mech that's already out, a variant of a mech that's already out, a jumping mech, and then a new model. So, I'm gonna let you go first. What are four mechs that you think fit this bill?
So I've got my pack laid out, and one thing we didn't really talk about was the the Waco Rangers' tactics. These guys were known, especially the combine later on, for hit and run. These guys are very much blitzkrieg lightning warriors. They go in, they hit their objective, whether it be raiding a factory or a convoy, grab what they can, and fade into the darkness. And this is the Waco Rangers' kind of preferred tactic. This is what they're known for. Mm-hmm. So I wanted all mechs that were relatively quick. I think the slowest one is 84 kph. But I've got the, for the repos, I've got an OSR-2 Charlie Ostrock. Now we don't have it's a repos, and you guys are like, oh, we don't have one of those yet. We almost do. We got
almost,
one of the mercenaries.
Almost,
coming.
Yeah.
Almost.
That's right.
So that would be my repos. My variant would be a -2 Phoenix Hawk. Because all we got right now is the -1. I would really like the -3 Mike, which is the Paul Masters with the SRMs. But that would be a Knights of the Inner Sphere pack.
Well, we are getting a variant in one of the new Star League packs coming out. And it actually has the two large lasers. It has one on the shoulder and one on the arm.
Cool.
So that's going to be really awesome. That was announced in all of the stuff that just happened recently at PAX Unplugged. Which
gotcha.
I think I may record a little snippet about all the big news going into 2024. But in one of those Star League packs, because there's going to be three Star League Force packs, there's going to be a variant Phoenix Hawk, which, you know, they're great all around mechs. You know, very easy to maintain.
Yeah, they're good light mech killers too.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So my jumping mech, I've got the Dash Hotel Firestarter, the FS9 Dash Hotel, and the new mech, because the Firestarter is, anybody who plays Mech Warrior 5, you'll know how good those things are at just tearing down buildings. That's kind of more of a non-homage to the Mech Warrior 5 guys out there.
Nice.
But then finally, we've got the OTL-4 Delta, the Austal. That would be my pick for a new mech. And okay. I think that's the slowest one on here. I think it's like 84, 86 kph. So I want stuff that's kind of good firepower. Yeah. It's relatively good firepower. That goes fast. Armor is kind of a secondary concern, but damage and speed. And then I saw that some of the new Star League packs are coming out with vehicles.
Yes.
So I thought if they were going to do that, hey, throw us an SL-15, a Slayer. Because the Waco Rangers are one of the units that's known. They've all, throughout their entire history, from the beginning to the end, it's always been at least a company with a flight of four aerospace fighters.
Yeah. No, I love it.
So there are
more aerospace fighters. More aerospace fighters.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a new podcast on the of mech, not of Mechs and Men, of the on the Origins feed, where they are looking at aerospace fighters now. And so, and I know that they're already talking about, like, let's update these rules and have, you know, some more aerospace fighting going on, which is awesome. I love it.
Give me that Alpha Strike aerospace, man. That's
That's pretty much, I think, what they're going for at this point. So
that's awesome.
So my thoughts on this, Lance, I wasn't quite going the fast moving Blitzkrieg. I was kind of thinking of iconic mechs. And so I had, I didn't have the exact models for variants and stuff, but I thought this could work for, so I was thinking like a repose, and variant. Okay. But the four mechs I was thinking of were the Battlemaster, because Wayne Waco.
Okay.
And also because we don't have the Battlemaster outside of a game of Armored Combat.
That's very true. That would definitely help if people wanted to get a second Battlemaster.
You know, being able to get Battlemasters, they don't have to spend for the whole box. So I liked that.
Right.
Having it as a repose or a variant kind of could go
that's
either way.
Idea. Yeah, that's
kind of could go either way. But then also, too, I do like the Phoenix Hawk. You know, that they're just a classic for sure. But
classic.
I also liked, you know, there's some, they have them in the Waco Rangers, and then also the fact that Wayne Waco started with it. I kind of like the Vindicator as as something. And again, as an option,
the only place you can get it is in the beginner's box,
the new beginner's box. I thought that would be a great, place to have it as well. And the Vindicator, you know, you could have that as the jumping mech.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call.
I liked that for the jumping mech too. So,
yeah.
Past that, you know, again, I kind of don't have a big, you know, preference. I mean, you could throw a Locust in there for his son, you know,
or, you know, that could be the fifth option, have a broken Locust, a broken Locust.
Well, that would be in the next Wolf. That should be in the next Wolf Dragoons box, is that there's a broken Locust under a Stalker. you know, because right now in the Highlanders, there's a Highlander with a broken Urban Mech underneath it. So.
Urban Mech, yeah, yeah.
I think that would be good for sure. Oh my gosh, that's fantastic. So, but yeah, you know, I also thought of, you know, the transgressor. Starfighter, because their command lance of starfighters were some transgressors. They were heavy aerospace fighters.
Got it.
They're
looking at it now.
They're very kind of old school looking. But I mean, they had some really awesome variants, and they rocked some pretty hard weapons. So the main one, three large lasers and four mediums. The 14 had an AC-20.
Has an AC-20, you know? Exactly. That's what I was looking at. And the 15's got your ER mediums, the ER larges, and it's got wing mounted. Good lord, wing mounted heavy PPCs.
Yeah.
Oh, this is 3071. Okay, this makes more sense. It's the 3071.
Well, yeah, that model is after, but still, I thought the transgressor would be a cool inclusion for the Starfighter. Because I agree. Like the idea of having an included vehicle or something. But it could even be the new model. Even if it was like three mechs and the transgressor, I'd be cool with that too. So,
because right now we've got Shalones, and eventually we're going to have the Visigoths.
Yeah, which is the Omnifighter. So
Omnifighter, right. But you know, unless you want to go oops all Shalones with your Intersphere forces, really it only makes sense to be flying Shalones if you're a Drac or a Razlog.
Those are just the plastic fighters. We do have them in the metals from Iron Metals.
Ironwind. So. Yeah, that's true. I keep forgetting about Ironwind. That is true.
Yeah, I agree. The new plastics are fantastic. So
They're really good.
That was kind of just my take on some of the unique things we could have in it, but I like it a lot. So that kind of brings us to a close, I think, real quick, because we hadn't really talked about them. Again, the only official artwork from anyone for the Waco Rangers was in the Mercenary Handbook. And so if you're watching the presentation, sorry, I didn't get to it earlier, but we've got these fantastic uniforms for the Waco Rangers.
Oh, they're amazing. Yeah.
We've got, and again, this is where we get the Western / Australian Outback, you know, African safari, British African safari motif, going on. Tans and browns, you know, but yeah, it's awesome because there's like an aerospace fighter, a mech warrior, a ground trooper, and the ground troopers all have that hat, which is fantastic. And then a tanker.
So for on the far left, or the I guess that's the mech warrior. I will say
the furthest left is actually the aerospace. So it's aerospace, the mech warrior.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Got it.
Then trooper, and then the far right is the tanker. So
this aerospace pilot looks like he works at a gas station, straight up.
He does. Like he's some sort of trucker. He's delivering gas to the gas station.
Yeah, but they're not bad uniforms. Not as ridiculous as some of the Capellan or some of the combine uniforms I've seen.
Absolutely. And then we've got, they also had an Aztec or a Tech, and they also had a field medic there who, again, looks like she is on African safari. So
yeah,
she's got that kind of like domed hat with the Western brim.
Yeah, it's almost like a pith helmet with like a fedora brim. It's crazy. Like it a lot. I like those uniforms. The ground troop uniforms, I think, are phenomenal.
Yeah, those are just funny.
They don't make a lot of sense, but they're very stylish. I like them.
I don't know. I mean, like, there's a lot of planets out there that probably have the kind of, they require, sun protection. So,
oh, sure. That's just like a lot of folds and sand could get into the.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, Woody, thanks for joining me for this episode of Mercenary Star Podcast. Thanks for talking about Waco Rangers, because, like I said, it's a tragic story. They're not well loved, but we love to hate them, right?
Remember, kids, don't hold on to grudges. Don't kill your kids. Kill you eventually.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, there's no force pack for Waco Rangers, but if you're looking for BattleTech products, be sure to check out our sponsor, Fortress Miniatures and Games. You can click the links in the show notes. It's fortressminiaturesandgames.com. Also, too, don't forget to support your local friendly game store if you have one. Fortress is fantastic. They get things out quickly, and they just had their big Southern Assault tournament recently that they host. So congrats to them and all those involved. Any shout outs for you?
Obviously shouts out to all the guys at Valhalla Club. If you're watching this and don't know what we're talking about, Valhalla Club's a podcast, but it's also a community on Discord. A lot of the cool podcasts hang out there. There's the OMAM, the Mexican guys, the Valhalla Club guys, obviously White Fox is over there. But it's a cool place where we can talk, and there's game nights that we have. There's actually one going on right now, which you guys are playing. So
there is.
Shouts out. Yeah. Shouts out to them for sure. Shouts out to Gear Gaming. That's my local game store, so shouts out. I doubt they'll oversee this, but it's a great place. And
awesome.
Like going there. Yeah, shouts out.
Fantastic. It's good to have a local place. So,
yeah.
Thanks again, Woody, and appreciate your time. Hope that you start to feel better soon.
Sorry for everyone listening about the. I'm sure I'm sniffling and coughing nonstop, but we had to get this out.
You hit it well. You hit it well. It's all good. So
thanks.
Thanks again. And for all those listening, again, if you have not, give us a follow on YouTube, or give us a subscribe on YouTube. I forgot to mention, we hit 500 subscribers on YouTube. Thank you all very much. That's a big milestone for us, because it means we can start to do more stuff. Also, keep watching so we can hit our next milestones. But I'm excited for 2024. We've got some awesome things coming. And that's all going to be revealed in the coming weeks. But thank you. Hope that you all have a fantastic and safe New Year's Eve and New Year's. Hope that you had a wonderful Christmas. And look forward to chatting some more BattleTech next time. So have a good one, and we'll see you next time.